Attention students, the Jabrona University Network is now in session. Please make your way to class.
Week 3, spooky season, Wes Allen takeover. Let's just get right into it. It's that time of year where everything gets orange and black. Spooky season and we're under attack. People dressed up having a blast. Our version of church is a midnight mass. Some go topless, some show that ass. We get nostalgic for times in the past. A youthful joy like when a child is born. Michael, our father, children of the podcorn. Listen loud like when a tire screeches. Drag racing, shout to peaches. If we actually hear them, they will reach us. We listen to Christ, and I ain't talking Jesus. Sweeter than candy like Reese's Pieces. They the shit, shout to feces. Read up on them like microfishies. They something like another species. That's kind of like a monster squad. After listening, please applaud. If you don't, you'll get the machete. Welcome to the pod, Michael Verretti.
Hello, hello. What an intro. I've heard all manner of intro in my career, but never a rap. So that's amazing.
We like to refer to them as sweet raps around here.
It was very sweet. I appreciate it.
Yeah. We have on filmmaker, screenwriter, podcaster, Michael Verretti. You can find him on Twitter at Michael Verretti. That's Varrati. You can find him at Twitter on Twitter at Midnight Mass. That's the podcast he hosts with Peaches Christ. And you guys do all things cult films. Was listening to the Little Shop of Horrors today. That was a ton of fun.
Thank you. Yeah. You know, Peaches Christ and I both have backgrounds in the world of cult. Peaches used to host and continues to host midnight screenings and these event screenings in the San Francisco area. And the name Midnight Mass comes from her original cult movie screening series that she started in the mid-90s. And we love these movies, obviously, and we love to worship at their altars. But one of the things that we're quite fascinated by is the reach of the cult. So it's not just about the movie itself. It's how the movie impacts people. Like, we did an episode on Phantom of the Paradise. And of course, we could sit and talk about Brian De Palma for 2 hours, but we were also fascinated to discover that Phantom of the Paradise, when it came out in the 70s, of course, was a colossal failure everywhere except for Winnipeg, Canada, where it was number one at their box office for like 18 weeks.
And that is so bizarre.
Yeah. So then we decided to be like, well, we got to talk to some Canadians and find out what this mystery is. And so that's kind of the spirit of the show. It's not just the cult movie or figure. It's not just loving Elvira or John Waters, but how it's impacted people in their lives. And we're having a blast. And Little Shop of Horrors was brought to us by Bob the Drag Queen, winner of RuPaul's Drag Race. And Bob was like, I'm coming on your show and we're doing Little Shop of Horrors. And we're like, okay. And it was so much fun. I hadn't revisited it in a while. Peaches admitted on the episode, as you heard, that she hadn't seen it since she was a kid. And she was just like, is this a perfect movie? It might be. So those are kind of the things that we get to discover. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting. Is I didn't realize that they shot those a lot of those scenes in slow motion, which I'm like, that had to take so long to do. And yes, shout outs to the puppeteers and everything that were doing it, but for Rick Moranis to like go through it like and be on camera, his face and do it in the slow motion, then speed it up, that's pretty crazy. That one definitely kind of blew my mind.
Yeah, definitely a solid cast there.
What do you think makes a cult film?
I mean, I think if we knew, that would ruin the magic, right? I think the reality is that
it goes viral, you know?
I was going to say, it's almost like a viral, you know, like I think, you try to force it and it just doesn't work.
Well, and I think that's true, because I think that if you watch horror movies or weird movies or whatever, we've all seen that movie where clearly the team behind it tried to set out to make a cult movie.
Right.
And it rarely ever works. I think forced camp and forced cult aesthetic are sort of not something the audience embraces. I think that it's got to be authentic. It's got to come from an earnest place.
Yeah.
I think that's why John Waters movies work in a way that if you or I tried to do that, it wouldn't, because John is weird and twisted, and that comes from an earnest place in his heart.
Yeah.
Whereas
yeah.
some people are like, I'm just going to do something crazy to push the envelope in my movie. And then it comes out and we never talk about it again.
Right.
I think that there's something organic about cult. And I think there's something that draws us back to that authenticity.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do wonder, can a movie outgrow cult status? Like, does it become too, like, for instance, Big Lebowski, right?
Right.
It was cult. And then now it's become something bigger than that.
Oh,
it feels
pop
like
cult.
Well, I mean, the sad truth is if you really think about it, everything's got a timestamp on it, you know, because we're living in this moment where it feels like film is forever, where it feels like some of our fandoms are forever. It's kind of imperceptible to consider that one day people may not be talking about this, but that's just the nature of human art and in the ebb and flow of human life. Speaking of Phantom of the Paradise, one of the things that was really interesting about that is Malcolm Ingram, who's a documentary filmmaker from Canada, made a movie called Phantom of Winnipeg, all about that strange Canadian phenomenon. And it played, I think, at either Fantastic Fest or one of the big film festivals. And all of the subjects in the movie, these Canadian people who were only really united by their fandom of Phantom of the Paradise, had come. And a lot of them are parents and grandparents now. And one of the things Malcolm shared with us was, it was cool because they brought their families, and their families were watching the movie, and they got to see mom and dad talk about this crazy movie that changed their lives. But the reality is like the kids and the grandkids don't really give a shit about Phantom of the Paradise. They're kind of excited about the fact that grandpa's in a documentary about this thing that he likes. Mm. So that's like one of those things where you can literally see that the cult of the movie might have like passed on to a new generation, but largely that was their thing. And now people are looking for the new thing. And some things have longevity and some things don't. And, I think, yeah, you can outgrow a cult. Luckily, all of the cult films that we love and talk about consistently, we haven't outgrown yet. But changing mediums, changing, companies. The fact that Rocky Horror has the longest theatrical run of any movie ever could be jeopardized by the fact that, you know, Disney buys Fox and won't let 35mm prints out of the vault anymore. So, like, how does that change Rocky Horror playing midnights? Don't know. So it's like, who's to say? That's the bittersweet side of the discussion of cult film.
Yeah.
No, it's really good. If you guys want more of that, you just heard it. Midnight Mass on iTunes, Spotify. Look for the one, or if you can't find it, because there is some Midnight Mass stuff out there. Just because obviously
I heard about that.
Yeah, exactly. So because of that, so go to @MidnightMass on Twitter and you can kind of follow the links there and find it. But we are excited. Wes Allen brought us Michael Peretti, and we are doing our own Monster Squad essentially. So we're going to make our main teams of Vampire, Wolfman, Gillman, Frankenstein's Monster, and Mummy in our own sort of way. That's going to be our main team. It's our Avengers of Monster Squad, and very excited about this. James, why don't you get the order, and Drew, tell the people where they can find us.
JabroniU.com. Find all the great podcasts on JabroniU. JabroniU.com. I know it. I know it all. You can go there. You can listen to the Flow and Tell. You can listen to Why Did We Ever Meet. You can listen to New Jabroni Pro Wrestling, which is in their final stretch of the G1 Climax, breaking that every damn night down. You can be, listen to Biff Radio or even Locals After Hours. And if you just don't want to listen to anything, you just want to support us, go to jabroniu.threadless.com and buy a t-shirt.
Boom. James, order.
All right, here we go. Andy, you have first pick.
Let's go.
James has second pick. Drew has third pick, and Michael, you're rounding us out.
But that means he gets his second pick before anybody else gets their second pick. So
that's right.
That's actually not a bad spot to be in, considering there's a couple spots that are a little more shallow, you know?
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
So are we going to we're just going to jump around and pick whoever you want to pick on your
team? Yeah, we're going to pick whoever you want to pick.
Okay.
You know, and I'm going to build my mystery men team, basically. Mine is not going to have a chance to compete with you guys. But it'll be fantastic.
It'll be like all the board games you played as kids. It's all going to be knockoff versions.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man, other people have played careers.
No, they haven't. No, they haven't.
Other people have careers.
That was my version of Monopoly growing up. I don't know where my parents got it, but yeah. Different.
All right, so Andy, are you ready?
I think I'm ready.
All right.
I think I'm ready.
There you go.
All right, so there's a couple that are shallow, but I also have one that I really, really want to get. So, man, I said I was ready, and now here I am already freaking out. Pick one. I think I'm going to go with my mummy first just because it's the shallowest of pools, I think. So I'm going to go Aminet from the 2017 version of the mummy. So, yeah, she's the female Egyptian princess. She's clearly the best thing about the movie. This is the one that has Tom Cruise in it. But she is an absolute badass. Super fast, super beautiful. You know, just an all-around badass. And what I thought was interesting is the actress that played Aminet, she was actually in Nike ads where she was doing all this dancing before, and she was a backup dancer for Madonna. And she even got a call to go on like some sort of performance with Michael Jackson. But by the time she was going to do it, it was too late. He passed away, all that. But like, yeah, she's an absolute badass. I don't know if you guys have seen this 2017 version or not.
I have not. Yeah. I got advice from somebody once that it wasn't very good, so I just never went. But not I don't usually take people's advice like that, but like that was the reason I never went back to it, I guess, probably.
It did tank that whole planned shared universe.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like, I would say the movie's probably not the greatest, but I think she is fantastic in the movie.
Okay.
So sometimes the performance of the actor or actress can like, you know, lift up the movie to all of a sudden, like you want to watch the movie. So
you're saying Tom Cruise ruined it is what you're saying.
Well, I'm saying I watched it for Tom Cruise originally, but I left thinking, you know, she was the main star of the movie.
Gotcha.
So, and again, the mummy's such a small pool or mummies are such a small pool that I was like, let me get mine right up front. A badass female mummy.
Heck yeah.
That's a good pick. Yeah. Smart. Smart.
All right.
You ain't no dummy.
That's right. Wrap me up.
I think I'm going to go like my Dracula first, my vampire first, just because, you know, that's going to be a hot list. Actually, you know what? I'm not locked into that, right?
This thing is sneaky how you build your team.
Yeah, now that I'm thinking about it, maybe there's
give the pick.
Maybe there's too many vampires and I shouldn't get it right now.
No, do your vampire. Go ahead.
I think I'm going to go my Frankenstein's monster.
Okay.
All right. And I like this one. This is like my favorite pick on my whole team. So I'm going to go Herman Munster.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Dude, I did not even, I never even equated like TV. Like,
well,
I was just strictly thinking movie. He never said either way. So I'm cool with this pick, but man, that's a great pick.
Well, the Munsters have a TV movie as well.
Oh, that's true.
Like Welcome Home Munsters or something like that.
Yeah.
four TV movies.
Four TV movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. See? Michael knows all about this. I defer to
That's
Michael.
A lot of TV
Well, should we make a ruling then?
What's the ruling?
Like movies and TV or?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I think okay. I was going to say the
info I got was from media, period.
Oh, so. Media, period.
Oh, okay.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Well, perfect.
Cool.
Yeah, so we're wide open.
Apple commercial I take later.
You know, the Munsters is just a show that when I was a kid, I was huge into I Love Lucy. I was huge into Munsters. I was just a Nick at Night baby. Like I would watch it every night to go to sleep, and I just loved it all. So yeah, Herman Munster is the man.
Absolutely.
Yeah. A lot of history down that road, you know?
I was just going to say, Fred Wing's the man.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. R.I.P. So. I don't even know what else to say about
that. Are you mocking me in that suit? Just start going down on his... And we need to do a Fred Wing spotlight.
We should.
Yeah, we just draft those. I like that.
Just those three. Maybe.
the judge and yeah, that's what that's from, right? My Cousin Vinny.
Yeah.
I guess it is just those three. Andy? No, I'm sorry, Drew. You're up.
Go ahead, Andy.
I try to trick Andy.
I mean, hey, if you want me to go again, I'll. No.
So I had the same motive as Andy here. Get out of that deep pool. And because I feel like Michael might be maybe thinking the same thing I am here, give me Bubba Hotep.
Oh.
As my mummy. I don't know if that was his pick, but that was like, I got to get this number one because he is, that movie is the best mummy. I'm sorry, Scrump. This is the best mummy movie. I know he's a big Brandon Fraser mark. So, yeah, I don't know if any of you, Michael, I assume you probably have, but anybody
seen
else seen?
Yeah, I've seen it.
It's great.
Yeah. Like when he's Bruce Campbell as Elvis is fantastic.
I think the guy
saw the book. He was about the size of a peanut butter banana sandwich, man.
What is the other guy thinks he's JFK? Right?
Yeah. He thinks they put JFK's brain in his body.
Yeah.
I do love that movie. That's an incredible movie. That is a really good mummy pick, and you're right. That already blew my theory that there's no cool mummies out of the water. So yeah, I've already been schooled.
Yeah, I'm definitely a Brendan Fraser mummy. I'm on your side, Scrump. But I haven't seen this so I might
clearly
like
you're not.
Better.
You're a Tom Cruise
you
mummy.
Pick the other one.
Well, because I'm talking about the character versus the movie, so.
I like that you guys are clearing the mummies off the board, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm hoping Michael goes mummy, too, so that I'm just free to, like, find.
Yeah, that's the thing, that you just wait till your last pick.
Yeah.
Oh, is it? Am I up? Is that?
You are up,
I think.
Oh,
yeah.
And I think we're done with Bubba Hotep.
Yeah.
Well, I will say, as I was telling you all before we went on air, I took this assignment seriously in the way that rather than necessarily pick my favorites of each of these kinds of monsters, I tried to assemble a team as if I was like horror movie Nick Fury and putting together a team that would work cohesively as a unit slash made sense. That's why I'm telling you this up front, because I am going to tell you my mummy pick, and my mummy pick is the stupidest selection of the entire bunch. And knowing what I just told you, you're going to be like, is he serious? Because he just said he was very serious about his choices. And this is going to sound atypical of that statement. But
listen, the mummy's kind of a pawn. Like, he's just there to die.
Well, I think that every team needs comedic relief. I mean, we see it in every superhero group. And that's why my selection for the mummy is none other than serial mascot, the Yummy Mummy.
Oh, my God.
Because not only is he colorful and fun, but he will make sure that my team stays fed in the heat of battle. with a part of your balanced breakfast. I don't really know that I need to oversell the Yummy Mummy beyond this.
Yeah, that's a great pick.
Oh my God, that's a pick I wish I made.
So have any of you seen that they put out the Monster Mash cereal this year?
Yeah, they mixed them all together.
Oh, it's so good.
Is it?
They even brought back like the Yummy Mummy and the Werewolf and the, I guess it's just those two that they don't do anymore, but yeah.
Oh my goodness. I'm looking at this beautiful thing right now. It's on Target.com, $3.79. I'm going to pick me up a couple boxes.
You should just get a case.
Man, the Yummy Mummy does look like a badass, though. And he's sporting a tambourine on the cover of this cereal box. They got a whole little band thing going on. Which one's your favorite of the main three? Which is your favorite of the berries, Michael?
Oh, I like Frankenberry.
All right.
I was never a chocolate fan growing up. Like, I get it. I know that's like an inflammatory fighting words statement, but like I did count Chocula aesthetically, but if I have to eat the cereal, I want Frankenberries. So
me and Drew are Booberry guys, and James is a Count Chocula guy.
Count Chocula, yeah. Yeah.
We know this of each other.
It's good to know someone's cereal preference if you're hosting a show.
Yeah, we have done two cereal drafts. Probably a total of 60 plus cereals that we've drafted. So
yeah, and we got another one in us for sure. All right, Michael, you're back.
Oh, yeah.
So, all right. So from the Yummy Mummy, I will transition into a heavy hitter. I'm going to go with my vampire. And this was tough for me because my favorite fictional character of all time is Dracula. So, of course, my inclination was to choose a Dracula, but there are so many. You've got Christopher Lee, Louis Jourdan, Jack Palance, even if you want to get weird. But I was just like, okay, no, if I'm assembling a team, I need a Dracula who's going to kick ass. And frankly, I mean, I need a vampire that's going to kick ass. And frankly, Dracula gets taken out by an old Dutch guy way too frequently. Is why my vampire selection is Blade. And my reason is...
Damn it!
Is Blade. Also, he can go out during the day.
My reason is Blade.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I don't think I need any other reason than Blade, really reason, don't. Blade. But also, he's one of the few vampires who can go out during the day. So if I need to, like... send my monster squad out to do some stuff. They're not stuck at night.
Not without their leader,
Exactly.
I chose to pick Herman Munster first. Blade would have been my pick had I gone my vampire route. So
I was debating Blade or going the mummy just because of how shallow the pool was. So yeah, you got both of us. That's a fantastic pick.
Thank you.
My goodness. I love Blade.
I do too. Honestly, I do think that we need to cycle around culturally to discuss how awesome the blood rave at the beginning of the first movie is. I think that people are going to catch up and be like, wait, that was like one of the ballsiest opening scenes of any horror movie ever.
It's incredible. The first Blade...
I think it's coming... I think it's probably coming soon when everybody rewatches that original trilogy before the next one comes out.
Oh yeah!
Like everybody's gonna be like, "Whoa, what is this?"
When is Blade 4 coming?
Phase 5 or 6, I'm sure. Yeah. They announced it at Comic-Con a couple years ago, but you know, with COVID, all of the production schedule is bizarre. So
that's true. Yeah,
people always shout Blade 2 from the rooftops, but for whatever reason, Blade 1 is like it's my favorite. Just the Deacon Frost, him as the bad guy. I don't know. I just love everything about that movie. It's so incredible.
Well, I'll tell you what. Deacon Frost was almost my pick. And then I was like, wait, but it's like, how do you pick Deacon Frost when Blade's like right there?
Yeah.
But Blade and Deacon Frost are the only two vampires I have written down.
Like taking Billy Hoyle when you can have Sidney Dean, you know?
Man.
Absolutely.
Hey, I was doing a whole Snipes thing, shouting out one of my favorite movies. So,
heck yeah, you were. Drew, unless Andy, you want to go?
Yeah, I'll go.
All right. Well, nothing says I mean, I guess they're on the board. And again, if I'm going to go shallow real fast, I you know, give me the OG creature from the Black Lagoon.
Yeah.
Although I did want to talk about another movie, but maybe we'll get to it later. Maybe it'll be my honorable mention. But yeah, I feel like because it's so shallow, this is really the best of the best here. So, I mean, it is a vast universe of what you could call a sea creature. So
yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I didn't know
how we'll all go.
I didn't know how like strict anybody was going to be, so that's why I tried to keep it as close to like Gilman as possible.
Yeah,
totally.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, no, this is a good one. You got the goat of Gilman's.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I would love to see Gilman like them kind of step out of the box a little bit more. Like, I feel like Gilman has a lot of like comedy roles that he could do if they flip the script a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. There's just something about him where I'm like, I want to laugh at this guy.
Him and the mummy could go on the road together.
Yeah. You know, just... two characters not very prone to a road trip.
Yeah, you just bring him and David Blaine in like some sort of you know, tank and take him on the road.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
All right.
David Blaine's a vampire, right?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, yes.
there's a good chance.
Yeah.
All right.
He does seem to be timeless.
It's true. Well, that could be the Vegas.
Yeah.
All right, so it's over to me now.
Yes.
Here we go. Man, you know, we teased this last time, but this would have been my pick whether it was teased or not. So I'm going to go with Scott Howard, Teen Wolf, as my werewolf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent choice.
Yeah. Yeah. This is where I screwed up. So when we were talking about it, I was joking around not thinking that this was actually a thing. And I was like, oh, like you could take Teen Wolf for Wolfman.
Yeah.
And Wes is just like, yeah. And then, exactly. And then I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, I was like, shut up.
I just messed up. Yeah.
If I'm going assembling an Avengers-style team, I have Herman Munster as my... He's kind of like the guy who's been around. He can give advice. He's, you know... And then now I have my young whippersnapper kid that's ready. He's still learning. He's still a little bit rough, but he'll get there. He's like my little Spider-Man, you know?
I was going to say, you basically have Tony and Peter right
That's
there.
Right. Heck yeah.
I was about to say, you're building a Monster Squad sitcom versus... Like,
that's
Michael's
right.
team is going to straight up murder your team.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, let's be fair. Currently, I've got Blade and the Yummy Mummy. Yeah, so yeah. I don't.
Yeah. Look, the Yummy Mummy goes so hard.
Yeah. I mean,
at least Blade is well fed with some delicious true. Cereal.
Yeah.
I do want to be in the car when those two are alone having to have a conversation.
Oh my god, just a buddy movie with Yummy Mummy and Blade.
Blade's driving and Yummy Mummy's in the passenger seat and he's like, so where is this guy at? Like, he's trying to get directions to like your third pick's house. Like, I don't know, this fucking guy, his name's Michael, he tells me to pick you up, you barely even, you just grunting shit.
And smell strangely like berries.
Yes.
Man, the car would always smell amazing.
I know.
Exactly.
Well, man, Blade, what's that cologne?
But also formaldehyde.
Exactly.
Oh, man.
All right, Andy, here we go.
All right. I'm excited. I'm going to take my Wolfman. I wanted to go into the shallow pool, but going Wolfman here. And I need to continue my badassery. My team is going to be badasses. So I am going to go my Wolfman and take Wolverine.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
That's yeah.
Yeah, so I got two badasses.
I would have put him in Frankenstein's monster, to be honest with you.
He's a little bit of both, right?
Yeah.
But there's that's a good point. Damn it.
I mean, he's
all right. Well, I already get it, so I can't. Yeah,
because I thought of him for that. I was like, hey, it's technically that.
Yeah,
but yeah, he's not a badass wolf man. You know. What's there to say about Wolverine? Like, he's better than Cyclops, Justin.
I almost want to contest this one too, but I know that it'll be futile
because he's a Wolverine and not a wolf.
Exactly.
And Wolverine man.
And the only transformation he does is claws shoot out of his hands.
Well, hey, if you just want me to flip it to a monster, I'll do that.
Well, I don't. I'll stay
in the Wolfman. I'll stay in the Wolfman category.
Yeah.
He's got a hairy chest, you know?
Yeah. Well,
I think that counts.
I guess I won't contest because I'm not.
Perfect.
I'll let somebody else do it if they want to.
If that's all they count, I'm going to pick the guy that Norm wants his shirt back from in Dirty Work.
Hey, that's my shirt. No, you keep it. I'm mistaken.
Oh, man. Right. Yeah, so I'm excited, though. I got two badasses. James, you could just flip it to my next one.
All right.
I think I'm ready. And, man, it's so tough. I lost the vampire's gone. You know what? I'll go Frankenstein's monster here. And I don't know that anybody is going to take this, but I really want to talk about this movie. Because I watched it today and I hadn't seen it. And I think it's crazy that this movie is out there uncut on YouTube. And so I'm going to take my Frankenstein's monster and I'm going to take Frankenhooker.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Want a date?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
This movie literally uncut on YouTube right now, the whole thing. And there's like, just boobs galore, you know, so many boobs. And I didn't think YouTube could do that. So,
have you never heard of naked yoga?
But are they actually naked? Like where they show anything or is it just shoulders up?
They show like vagine and everything.
Really? I honestly, this was mind blowing for me today that there was like actual like nudity allowed on YouTube. I didn't think that was a thing. So, when the first set came on, I was like, whoa, it really took me by surprise.
I don't know how the movie gets away with it, but I know like the yoga is because it's instructional and learning. So
it's almost
like a medical thing. You know what I mean?
Right.
But yeah, this movie is hilarious. I was definitely, I think that's what they're going for. You know, I got to imagine it's a comedy horror of sorts, but
Had you never seen it before?
I hadn't. This was the first time I'd ever seen it.
So when Frankenhooker came out, I think 1990,
It was 1990. You nailed it on the dot.
They actually, when you would go to the video store, they had special video cases for it that like when you press the case, it had one of those little electric voice boxes that would say, want a date? And that was part of the marketing campaign. And they got Bill Murray to give a blurb on the cover. I don't know what it was, but I remember that. It's wild, wild New York, trashy, like Grindhouse, 42nd Street kind of movie directed by Frank Henenlotter, who also made Basket Case.
I took Basket Case last week. That's crazy.
Yeah. So Frankenhooker is a gem. And it's kind of like one of those titles where it's exactly what you think it is.
Spot on. Oh, man. The best part is, whatever, I'm going to give this away. Spoilers. It was 1990. They take this like oversized crack rock and all of a sudden all of these like hookers just start blowing up and the special effects are hilarious, which again I don't know if that's what they're going for, but man did it work because I was laughing my ass off. And I love that the dude was like, well, they're doing crack anyway. So if I give them a sped up version of crack, I'm not killing them. The crack is killing them. And yeah, it was just so hilarious. A lot of his justifications, and that he was like trying to be this good guy, but like at the same time, he's not a good guy at all. Right. Man, the movie's just fantastic. Go find it on YouTube. Frankenhooker.
Heck yeah.
I don't know what she's going to add to my team, but hey, it's fun.
Well, anybody gets lonely, they can always go to Frankenhooker.
True that.
Yeah.
All right. I think I'll take my... I'll take my Gill Man. And I'm going to go Abe Sapien of Hellboy.
Oh, that was on my list too.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good choice. Yeah.
Heck yeah. Abe Sapien, I think Doug Jones played him.
Yeah.
In the movie. Yeah. Yeah. And it's one of the best characters in the movie. The Guillermo del Toro Hellboys are fucking incredible. So, yeah. And Abe Sapien, he's a fish man. And actually, Guillermo del Toro, he's got a couple situations here where you could replace a Gill Man with some of his characters. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Little teaser there.
Hmm.
Yeah. So I think I just gave Andy a pick. but yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I needed it. I had OG written down. I have one other one that I'm not sure if I want it. So. Yeah, you opened my eyes.
I haven't seen the Harbor, David Harbor one where he plays Hellboy. I don't know if you guys have checked that out, but
no, I haven't seen it.
Yeah. Ron Perlman was incredible to me. I just love those movies so much. So for them, I don't know. Was there a reason that he didn't come back, or was that just, they're just rebooting it for the sake of rebooting it?
I think it was just a different production.
Yeah, I see. Well, you know, what can we do?
Yeah. Abe Sapien's a great choice, though. I mean, he's super smart. He's British.
That's right. That's right. He can get us into anything. Exactly. Abe, just go talk to him. Get us some tickets.
And just looks amazing.
Yeah. You know? Such a cool design, honestly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I would like to just look like that, just in real life. You know, like I'll keep my hair and then the rest of me is going to look like that. And man, I'm just going to be having a good ass time out there in life.
You start a trend of Abe Sapien plastic surgery.
You know what? There should be more Abe Sapiens for Halloween.
It's true.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. That's a tough costume to pull off, though. Drew?
I'm going to have to be fat Abe Sapien, though.
Bit of an expensive costume, maybe. Oh, yeah.
The makeup.
Yeah, that's
makeup
a good point. On
that would be... Yeah. Oh, it's me. So I've got... All right, I'm going to go... Man. You know, I'm going to go my Frankenstein's monster.
Okay.
And we'll see how this goes, like I said. But I treated it as a creation. And to me, it's just a very, or it's a modernized version of Frankenstein. It's a movie to warn us about the technology of the day. And I'm going to go Ava from Ex Machina.
Oh,
all right. I buy that as a Frankenstein story.
Good. Oh man, that is so good.
That is actually a really good pick. I didn't even think of that.
I love that movie so much.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Man.
Yeah, I thought of that and I was like, oh man, that fits perfect.
Oscar.
First I thought.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh yeah.
I was just gonna say Oscar Isaac is the shit. I really like that guy a lot. He's a badass. I'll go see whatever movie he's in.
This is one of those movies, whenever I hear it just even mentioned, I'm like, fuck, I gotta go see it. I gotta see it again. Like,
yeah.
You know those movies where, like, you know, they don't necessarily get thrown around a crazy amount, but as soon as you hear it, you're like, now I got to watch it. Like, yeah. This fits into that for me. And yeah, pretty much every time I've heard about it, I'm like, yep, going back to watch it. So good.
It's a movie I always equate with Black Mirror, because I think that first season came out around the same time. And they're both kind of like technology is not your friend kind of movies.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm into that whole thread of storytelling these days. Like, maybe put your phone down. Don't build a lady in your garage, you know.
Yeah. Don't do it weird science style, you know.
Exactly.
Oh yeah. All right. Michael, you're back.
All right. I think that I'm also going to pick my Frankenstein monster here. I am a it is well known that I am a fan of very classic horror films. I love Hammer horror from the 70s and such. And so my selection also is a little bit both Frankenstein and out of the box, because if you stuck with the Hammer Frankenstein movies, there were like seven of them. They follow a continuity. So we know in the first movie, he builds the monster that we all know. But as Peter Cushing keeps coming back as Dr. Frankenstein, there are different monsters that he builds throughout the franchise, which I'll technically count as a Frankenstein monster. So I picked one from later down the line. And my pick is the monster from Frankenstein and the Monster from Hell, which is from 1974. In the movie, Frankenstein is in prison and he builds the monster using the parts of homicidal maniacs. And it's also this big, like, it has like a gorilla like appearance. And the body is played by David Prowse, who, of course, would go on to play Darth Vader.
Yeah.
So he's got that big statuesque kind of thing. And obviously, because Frankenstein always has this idea that the science will prevail. He doesn't think through the fact that, like, if you build a monster out of homicidal maniacs, it may go on a homicidal rampage. But I was like, well, if I'm going to pick a Frankenstein monster, I want one that's just like a juggernaut. And this is my selection. So.
God, he's a beast. I think, especially for 1974, the design is pretty freaking awesome on this one.
Yeah,
just the look of it, the makeup, all of that, like, just looks incredible. So we went kind of a similar route, except I went prostitution and you went murderers.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I also was thinking about how, you know, it's to pick a Frankenstein, it's real easy to do like Bolts and Green right. Guy.
Yeah.
So I was just like, well, I feel like over the course of the Hammer movies, Dr. Frankenstein's monsters got weirder. So I was like, let's just go down the line and find the weirdest one. And this one also just happens to be a nightmare beast. So
yeah.
I can see him getting in the car with Yummy Mummy and Blade and being like, Art and Blade feeling like, oh, thank God.
Yeah.
We're evening out the crew.
Yeah. He's probably stoic and he's just sitting in the back. He's not really saying much. He's clearly annoyed with Yummy Mummy. But he's just not like, he's no selling it.
Right.
I love your car right now.
It kind of reminds me of the monster on the wing in Twilight Zone. Almost looks like that in some sort of way. All right, Michael, you're back up.
All right. So, from there, because Abe Sapien slipped through my fingers, I think I have to pick another Gillman, and I'll make that choice right now. I'm going to go with the aquatic monsters from, Humanoids from the Deep, the Roger Corman movie.
That was the other one I was talking about that I wanted to talk about. So I'm glad you picked it. Yeah.
I like these guys because they're obviously inspired by Creature from the Black Lagoon. And of course, everything of the Roger Corman era is sort of in its way inspired by something else. You know, you get Forbidden World after Alien comes out. You can see him kind of doing the Corman production tricks. But these monsters are gnarly and mean and rated R, which the Creature from the Black Lagoon is not. So I know that these monsters can tear some stuff up. I guess that maybe when I was picking my group outside of the Yummy Mummy, I'm like, who's going to leave a bloodstain? And, and that's where I'm at. So, I take one of the Humanoids from the Deep. There's not one just that stands out because there's kind of a bunch of them. But I'll take one of them.
Yeah.
Those things are gnarly as hell.
Man.
That's all you got.
You want You want boobies, just watch the trailer.
Yeah.
Just the trailer?
Yeah. The trailer is filled with it, yeah.
They're goodness. Just, they wanted to get you at that drive-in, like, real hardcore. Yeah. The movie does have some problematic fish-on-lady attacking.
Yes.
Which was why it was my second string choice, because I was like, I don't want to lead with humanoids from the deep, because I don't want people to be like, whoa, man, calm down. But
I love that your team is just going to murder like a whole village, and then Yummy Mummy is just going to walk up eating a bowl of cereal. Like, what are you guys up to? Like,
but let's talk about the most disturbing visual of all. If like you are like rolling, if you're like Van Helsing or whoever, and you roll into this burned down village where there are corpses all around, the monsters are long gone, but through the fog and the smoke, you just see this like colorful creature just bowling up some cereal.
And he's just smiling. He's like glowing away.
That's honestly the most terrifying part.
It really is. It really is.
He's like, hey, Mr. Doctor guy, like, have you seen like four other guys? They just disappeared. Yeah. Like, they're my ride. They said, wait here, we'll go get the car, we'll get you, and I haven't seen them since.
Exactly. Meanwhile, Blade's like, our car smells like fruit stripe gum. God damn it.
Oh, man.
Shit. All right, Drew, you're back.
Back. All right, I'm going to go my vampire, and I think I'm pretty sure this was like my number one pick in the vampire, so give me Eric Northman.
Ooh,
good selection.
Now that TV's in there, I got to throw him in there. So
that's a great pick.
Yeah, that was. Yeah, I mean, I've talked about it before. Like, he was such a badass on that show, and just that scene where he rips out the dude's heart and just drinks it like a fucking high C juice box, like chef's kiss. Like, oh, the dude is so cool.
Yeah,
and like they would. I always complain, like, why don't we get to see more of him killing stuff? But it really was kind of like it was, it's special because it happened so few times. But when he did, he was like, oh yeah, I'm a Viking. Let me be a Viking for like 2 seconds. And then he kills like 1,000 people.
Yeah. True Blood was an incredible piece of work.
Yeah.
I go back to that Lafayette scene. Like the burgers with AIDS. Yeah. I probably watch that once a month. I don't know why. I love that scene, and I love that the whole deal. It's badass.
Yeah.
But man.
Yeah.
Good pick.
If you could have like a pinned scene for your life, like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like almost like a pinned tweet. Like if you could just put that out and be like, no, watch this clip. This is the one clip I want everybody to see that knows me.
This
is hilarious.
That's like the NFTs I would buy. If you could buy just like a 3 or 5 minute clip from a movie or a scene from a show, like, because they do like now where you can buy NFTs that are like, I don't know, sports things that happen in a sports game, and it's just a little clip of like a dunk or like a I don't know, touchdown pass, whatever. But
I mean, I guess I don't, I am of the generation, I guess, that I'm still like not wrapping my brain around NFTs. And because I guess, like, you know, if you own the Mona Lisa, for example, it's tangible. It's like, okay, you can see it on the wall, whether you value painting or not. But it's just like, you know, if I'm going to like a barbecue and someone's dad is like, I own this Joe Montana touchdown, I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? That doesn't make any sense to me at all.
I own the psycho murder.
Right.
The shower scene, you know? It could eventually make its way to movies. And then you'd be like, here's a GIF.
Yeah. Are they like at the end of games like, oh, and, you know, just a reminder, this is a... you know, this is the property of the NFL and Jeff, and without consent of NFL and Jeff, you cannot replay any of these items.
Yeah. Well, the truth is, Michael, I'm truly with you. I don't really understand the whole NFT thing, or not that I don't understand it, but I just don't. I'm not interested in it really.
Right,
but
yeah.
If this was the option, then I might be interested. If it was literally like those clips of, Because movies
the
and TV.
The Lafayette scene.
Exactly. That's the. Yeah. I would buy that NFT today. Today.
I would buy an NFT of your car and the yummy mummy just like looking at everything.
Thank you. Yeah.
An artist picture of your squad, of your team in a car together.
Honestly, if someone out there is listening that wants to do an illustration of this car ride, I hang it in my home. I promise.
That sounds awesome,
Courtney.
Put it
Courtney,
in the loop.
You know, I'm really like, let's just bell break this because I want to kind of keep going on the path. Let's just get off the clock officially.
Oh yeah, so the bell break is where we go off.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So I kind of really like. I'm just thinking about this idea. And, like, you know how people would be like, oh, this is my wallet. Look, this is my kids or whatever. This is my dog. Like, what if you just, like, the first time you met somebody, you're like, all right, now show me your three favorite clips.
Right.
Like, yeah. I think that's a really cool thing. Like, this, if you watch these three things, like, you'll get to know me even better. Yeah. Like, oh, man.
I really love
this idea. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like a date.
Save it in a folder with you.
That's a dating app right there. Like
that
you
is.
Put the three right. clips. Oh, kinda, yeah.
But then the onus is picking your three clips, right? That's pressure.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. That's the hard part. But
also
let's be honest. The real hard, well, I guess with TikTok you can just steal anything these days. But I was gonna say, like, you could, like, the real problem would be getting licensing for everything. Yeah.
Right.
As long as you're true to yourself with your picks,
yeah,
you're going to bring in the people that.
Oh, you know, there's going to be the people that's going to be like, oh, I like this movie. Like,
yeah.
It's only like, you know, it's like, no, you don't. You don't like it.
Right.
Like, Andy, last
your favorite movie is The Weekend at Bernie's. Shut up.
That he's never fucking heard of.
I swear I saw him. But here's the thing, like, if you do this on a dating app, right, and say you are into horror movies, you know, you're into horror movies, right? So you pick three killings, mm-hmm. and now, like, the person's got to think to myself, are they trying to send me a message, or are they really into horror? You know what I'm saying?
I mean, I'm going to base it on what the killings are, though. Like, there are some movies that even I, as a, like, long-term fan of the genre, that if you were just like, all right, here's the end scene from Martyrs or something, I'd be like, okay, you have problems. But if you're just like, here's the scene from Friday the 13th, part 7, where Jason scoops someone up in a hockey bag and hits them against, like, a sleeping bag and hits them against a tree. I'd be like, all right, taste. I understand.
Like, right. But if it's just like a gunshot to the head, you're like,
oh, man, I mean,
this is a bit weird.
Yeah, it's a bit weird.
Yeah.
Andy, let me ask you something.
Yeah.
What clip would somebody show you and just be like, oh, we're smushing tonight?
Oh, okay.
It's probably
that scene where they put the red sock into the white laundry in Paddington 2, and then everything turns pink. Come on.
Oh, my God. Why do you keep bringing this up?
Because it's an amazing movie, and it's an amazing scene. It's an American classic.
Okay. I regret asking.
Isn't Paddington British?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
It's not an American classic.
I'm American, and it's a classic to me.
All right. I think, are we still bell breaking, or should we move on?
Yeah.
All right. So back to me. Yeah, here we go. Sure. What have I,
they put a pink sock, or they put a red sock in white laundry. Everything turns pink. It's fantastic.
Okay. I'm going to get my vampire. I'm going to get my Dracula. And I'm going to take a Dracula, but I'm going to take Leslie Nielsen from Dracula Dead and Loving It as my Dracula.
So did I.
That's
Like, I thought about it. I was like, oh, James is absolutely taking that.
Yeah.
I can't blame you.
If you get bit by him, he will be like, I'm one yourself. You see? So that I just, you know. I'm a Mel Brooks mark. I love this movie. I love Leslie Nielsen. I love the Renfield character. I love everything about this movie. And I suggest
the, oh, what? the oh what music they make to a fart joke. Classic.
Yeah. I always do that, like, you know, becoming your old self again. Like when he puts the little dots in the, but yeah, I suggest if you have never seen this, because I feel like this is another movie that I love so much that gets shit on a lot for some reason.
Does it?
I feel like, yeah, it, like, it's definitely not on the top list of people's favorite Mel Brooks movies, but
oh yeah,
one it's of in,
Space
it's,
yeah,
guy.
Yeah,
the best Star Wars movie of all time, Spaceballs. Yeah, I said
it's unfair because there's just monsters, like, and not this type of, well, maybe this type of monster, but like there are just monster movies in there, like it's
but this movie, like, the jokes in this movie hit so fucking hard to me. This movie is so fucking funny, and it never has stopped being funny. Every time I watch it, it's just as good as the last. So I don't know, this one just, you know, this I might even buy a clip from this movie. It'd be that Lafayette scene and then something from this. Probably a Renfield scene.
I don't know if he's into vampires or what's going on.
Right. I was going to say, going hard on the vampire media.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
It'll be I'd probably do the beaver clip from Naked Gun, you know? Maybe that would be one of the clips to use.
Yeah.
I'd probably. Nice beaver. That one?
Yeah.
Thanks. I just added stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I would do the scene from Dracula Dead and Loving It where they throw Renfield in the cage and they go, "You'll stay in here till you rot." Then, okay, you're free to go. Like 1 minute later. What? I've only been in. Then he says, like, "Why are you letting me go?" "For good behavior, but I've only been here for a moment." "Well, for that moment, you were very good." So.
Oh, I love it. Okay. Oh, man. All right. Hard decisions. I'm going to go with my Gill Man, and we're talking about sea creatures. So let me take this beautiful creature, Jason Momoa Aquaman. Get on my squad.
Oh, shit.
All right.
Wow.
He
does have gills.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm in it to win it here.
I mean, I like that you're just taking superheroes. Like...
I didn't even think of that.
Yeah. Frankenhooker, the Marvel superhero.
Yeah, she was especially crucial during the Infinity War.
Yeah.
She snapped, you know? She's probably a DC character, let's be honest.
Yeah, right. Frankenhooker would definitely be in the DC universe.
But yeah, now she's got someone to sit next to in the back seat.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah, well, who am I kidding? Aquaman's driving.
Is he?
Yeah, you're probably right. He's in the backseat.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I don't think Wolverine's letting anyone drive.
Yeah, I think we'll have to do that at the end, is figure out our team of five and what's the situation with the car.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Like, who's getting the middle, or is somebody, like, in the back, and you have, like, a station wagon?
Yeah,
and you just got that one person that's looking out the back, looking at the cars all driving up on them.
Like, your Gill Man would just be in the trunk, and you have to fill it with water.
Yeah,
yeah, you're probably right.
My team is totally riding around in the Munsters car.
So. Yeah, you probably got the best car.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, my team just got whatever Kris Kristofferson hand me down.
True, but that's still gonna be pretty badass, truthfully.
Yeah, it's just a van. Yeah. Let's be honest. Like,
well, there's gonna be a crossbow
I don't know
in there.
What my car is.
All right, you done with Aquaman? You done talking about him? You don't like?
I mean, I don't have to talk about him. Just look at him, you know.
True that. There you go. I think we're heading into.
Well, why don't you just listen to this?
Thanks, Drew.
Sweet sounds of Kevin Aldridge.
Oh, yeah.
Well, this is That's So Raven, That's So Sheedy. For anybody who hasn't listened before, this is where we talk about something good we saw from the week. That's So Raven, or could be Ally Sheedy and something that maybe you're ranting about for the week. So we love you, Ally Sheedy. It's just wordplay. That's all. yeah. So
you just
have
a sheedy last name,
last
you know.
Week. What's that?
She just had a sheedy last name. So
exactly. Yeah. I talked about it last week, but I finished the series, and it's just been still consuming my brain. So I'm going to bring it back up just because the series just totally floored me in terms of how good it was. I love that it seems like there's going to be some sort of second season. They left off of the cliffhanger. But Squid Game, man. Squid Game, I finished it, and man, it just – it's so damn good. The different character building that they did in it, in a weird sort of way, like I got the feeling like when I watched The Wire and was invested in all these different characters, that's kind of how I weirdly felt about Squid Game. And you don't know necessarily Michael, but so the first time I watched it, I was totally thrown off because I told them I thought it was just something that was like MXC. And then I was rudely interrupted when I realized that is not at all what it was. But yeah, I don't know if you've seen it or not yet. I don't think James, you've seen an
first episode.
Yeah.
The red light, green light episode.
Oh man. Yeah. Have you seen this yet, Michael?
No, I haven't, though. I've seen the, you know how, if you let Netflix sit a while, yeah, it like does the little screens.
I
saw the all the people in pink when it first dropped, and I was like, oh, this feels like something I would watch, and I have yet to check it out. But
oh my goodness, it is going to blow your mind. It's in contention. I got a few, but it's definitely in contention for my favorite show of the year. It's freaking incredible. It's so good that Netflix is now allowing you to update your character or your Netflix like icon or whatever to the different characters that are on the show.
Oh, nice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You know, but yeah, it's just basically been consuming me. That and Only Murders in the Building on Hulu. I've just been living in those two worlds over the last, you know, week to 2 weeks or whatever. And yeah, both I can't suggest highly enough.
Yeah, I love Only Murders in the Building. I've been keeping up with that.
Oh, man, I can't wait for the, I think, season finales next week.
I like that they've been spacing it out because, you know, it was the mode of streaming platforms for a while to just drop everything for binge. And
yeah.
We've finally gotten away from that. And I think that we lost for a minute there, you know, that feeling of just getting to sit in something for a while. I actually tend to a show more when it's spaced out.
Yeah. That's a good point. The episode, I think it was 6 or 7. It was apartment 6B or something like that. And they did something that was, I don't want to give it away, but they did something that was like really mind blowing to me in terms of how they did it. I'm sure you know exactly which episode I'm talking about. And you're right, because I sat on that thing for a week. It was like, it was just kind of living in my head, which that doesn't happen with a lot of TV, I think.
Right.
The ability to have the shows or the episodes live in your head a little bit. So, I mean, yeah, both of those shows have kind of did that for me in the sense that, like, you know, I'd watch it. And Squid Game, I was behind, so I could have finished it, but literally, because I'm me, I couldn't binge the whole thing because there's some darkness to it. So I had to get palate cleansers of like Paw Patrol or something like that in there, you know? but yeah, you're right. If you get to live with it a little bit more, the episode's
kids napping and he's watching Paw Patrol.
Exactly. Yeah. He's like, turn that off. I want to watch like Babadook, and I'm like, no, Paw Patrol. It's for me.
Talking about that binge thing, I remember even when like Netflix had those Marvel shows like Jessica Jones and Luke Cage and stuff, when those came out, I would like purposely like wait a day between each episode because I didn't want to like, I wanted to sit with it like at least 24 hours to be like, man, what's going to happen tomorrow? Like,
right.
Like, there's just something to that of that good feeling of anticipation and then, you know, getting a payoff. And then, you know, to me, once you've seen it, then you can really binge through something. And the other thing too, is you don't really remember what happens when you do that. You're like, you watch five seasons in a day and you're like, wait, what happened with that?
Yeah. I mean, it is, it's sort of like cramming for a test. You remember it as long as you're watching it, but the longevity of it, whereas shows like I watched X-Files through most of its original run and I have great recall of X-Files episodes, but then, I think that I watched Arrested Development when a roommate of mine at the time got the DVD and we just like what, because those half hour episodes you can just watch.
I
could not tell you a thing about that show. Yeah. Like, I mean, if I started watching it now, it'd be like seeing it for the first time because I just like, it was gone.
That is an interesting draft, Drew,
shows that kind of live in your head where you remember things. We could do something like that. Like, yeah, I really like that idea.
Heck yeah.
Let me write that down. Shows that kind of live in your head.
You know how my brain works.
We're going to have Michael come back for shows that kind of live in your head a little bit.
Like, I mean, but it would it have to be like things that most people don't remember? Am I talking about like Forever Night or Baywatch Nights or shows that have the word night in the title?
I think ones that personally live in your head. Like for me, the Wayans Bros, you know, that's one that I watch kind of religiously. So like that's one that probably I myself know that there's probably a ton of people that have no idea.
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it would be like a personal ones that just kind of live in your head.
Yeah. I Love Lucy would be that for me because I've watched it like 7,000 times, so
it's a good one.
In and out, yeah. Some of the shit in that show is fucking crazy today. Like fucking really weird shit. But yeah.
Like the way they were just working in a chocolate factory, just, you know,
like
where's everybody else?
Just some kind of like domestic type of situations that don't seem to, they don't fit well in the 2020s.
I thought you were going to talk about when Fred and Ricky would just stand shoulder to shoulder and talk to each other and be really tight in frame.
Like,
yeah. And you'd be standing behind the couch like, what do you think's going on over there, huh? And meanwhile, like, Lucy and Ethel are not even 2 feet away, and they're talking at, like, full volume. Yeah.
They really were doing TV shows like plays. Because that's how they play.
Yeah. So. They were, yeah.
Yeah. Oh man, that's great. What you got, Drew?
Right, I'll go. Andy, this one's definitely not for you since you don't like timepieces. But watched a movie called Old Henry. It's a new movie that just dropped. It's a Western. Pretty good. Pretty interesting. I like the little, you know, I guess twist they give to it. So if you come across that on some sort of VOD or streaming, give it a whirl if you like Westerns.
All right.
Yeah. I don't want to say much about it because the one dude is, what is it? Timothy Blake Nelson. Is that his name? The guy from like Old Brother Where Art Thou? Delmar.
Oh, I'm not sure.
Oh man,
I would have to look it up.
Yeah, Tim Blake Nelson. Yeah.
Okay.
He damn turned him into a horny toad. That guy.
Oh. I do. The one who's
not George
about.
Clooney or not John Turturro.
Ah, gotcha. That cleared it up.
Yeah.
What you got, James?
I think, I don't know if I did bring it up on the pod in the past, but like, just, I think either just before the pandemic, maybe like the end of 2019, Mark Hoppus came out and said that he had lymphoma. He had cancer. Blink 182. I'm a big Blink fan, and that Mark Hoppus is like my dude, you know? So like, felt real bad about that, but found out today that 2 weeks ago, I wish I had known 2 weeks ago, but found out today that 2 weeks ago he came out and said that he's cancer free, treatments have worked, and he's
that's awesome, man.
Yeah, so that's pretty good. That's a Raven.
That is very Raven. That's probably the best Raven.
Heck yeah. And then also, you know, I'm gonna shout out the Goldbergs. I think I've talked about it a couple times before, but like, I am like, at first that was just a show I was putting on at night to fall asleep to, but now I am like super invested in the Goldberg family. So I'm like really into it. I'm like coming home and watching it when I get home from work and stuff now, not just to fall asleep to. So
I got into that show about a year ago, man. It's one of those ones you're like, why didn't I watch this 7 years ago?
I know.
Well, I think it's, we don't have as many, and it's kind of disappointing. I feel like I remember growing up and having like TGIF type shows, and even before that, shows like the Wonder Years, which is actually why I want to check out the new Wonder Years. But you know, shows like that, the Goldbergs fits into that, and there's not much of that that's out there today. But those shows are just like, God, they feel so good. They feel like macaroni and cheese, you know what I'm saying?
I relate a lot to like the Adam Goldberg character, because like, and I relate a lot to the mom. Bev is exactly like my mom, like just really overbearing, like really,
oh my god, I never even thought
everything about that show reminds me of like my own personal childhood. So that's what's like, my mom is very, like, she's just really wants to take care of me. You know what I mean? Still to this day.
Yeah.
I'm still
her
baby
boy. Schmoopy, you know?
Yeah, I'm her schmoopy. Exactly. So, yeah.
That's another good one, is people around you who remind you of sitcom characters. Because my dad is Ned Flanders, and then my mom is Kitty from That 70s Show.
It's actually perfect. That's perfect examples of your parents. I love that.
Yeah.
I want to hear the conversation of that car.
That's true.
So I was in the back of the station wagon looking at the cars coming up.
Oh, shit. Michael, you got anything? Yeah.
Well, usually during October, I try and stick to seasonal programming. But your conversation about your comments about the Goldbergs made me think about something that I've been watching that isn't Halloween themed. And I could sit here and talk about how I watched Ernest Scared Stupid last night. And I have to say, it was a great revisit.
So awesome.
It's a horrifying movie.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's been getting so much love lately. It's awesome.
I mean, I hadn't seen it since it came out in 91, and it holds up, and you know, kudos to Ernest P. Worrell and his misadventures. But I have what I call like my lunch shows, because I work a very bizarre schedule, and I'm usually writing or recording or something. So the kind of time that I carve out to just mentally zone out is when I sit down to eat. And it's usually a half hour show, because some of these other shows I think require a lot more engagement. Yeah. And I want to give a show like Squid Game, like more of my attention. And so sometimes I pick these shows with the intent of like, it's got to be fluff. And then I end up falling in love with them in a way that I was not planning.
Right.
And that show for me of late is Cougar Town. I don't know if any of you have watched that.
That's actually filmed close to our hometown.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's in Sarasota is where it's filmed, and James and Drew are basically in Bradenton, and that's where I grew up. So, Sarasota's right next to Bradenton. That's where Cougar Town's filmed.
I love it. I have to say that I was just like a show about wine moms or whatever it is. And in six seasons in, I was like so deeply invested. I am on the record, much to the chagrin of my fellow horror fans who love Scream, as saying that Cougar Town's the best thing that Courtney Cox has ever done. I watched the series finale recently and I was just like sitting there with like my plate and I'm just like, what am I going to do now? Like, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life without the cul-de-sac crew from Cougar Town. So yeah, I totally get that. Those like comfort shows and that show really became that for me. And I will probably watch it all over again in about 6 months' time. So
I would totally be
great. It's at home of being next to Cougar Town and that reality show on MTV. What is it? Siesta Key.
Siesta Key.
And that one with Niecy Nash.
Oh, Claws?
Claws, yeah.
Yeah, that's actually Palmetto is,
Claws was pretty Palmetto cool. Palmetto is
where I live now, so.
Yeah. Heck yeah. We don't know any of these people. We just know that they're sometimes are in our towns.
Actually, hold on. We call wrestling sometimes. And there was a reality star from, I believe, Siesta Key, or was it Flora Bama
Shore? It was Polly D.
Polly D from Jersey Shore.
It wasn't Jersey Shore one, but it was.
No, I think his name was like Polly Paul.
Polly Paul. That's it. Yeah. Polly Paul from CSD.
The Family Dollar version of Polly D.
Yeah.
There's two MTV Pollys in their reality television. They really messed up with that.
And then the girl, I don't remember her name.
Kinsey. But yeah, they came out to the wrestling show. The guy's a total beauty.
I caught him a fucking loser on commentary because they did something where like one guy got in his face, so he ran in the ring and confronted him, and we were supposed to act like we didn't know like what was going on. I just go, we were like, get that guy out of here, you know. I just go, fucking loser.
Oh, shit. But yeah, all right, I guess that's
Raven.
That's so Raven. Oh, that's so shitty. Draft bonnets, you know. If it's splendid or it flows. So Raven, so shitty.
Has anyone commented on the Neil Young timbre of his singing voice or no?
No.
Yeah. We did hear that once. Yeah.
Oh, have we?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. This dude, so he writes, he's a musician, a professional musician, but he writes a lot of different jingles for a lot of the podcasts that we have on our network. And then he's done it for a lot of other podcasts, ones like Marty and Sarah Love Wrestling, Scrump is just like PWT, Pro Wrestling Tees podcast. He's awesome, man. Yeah. He's so good at what he does.
Name's Kevin Aldridge, good. You know. Yeah. You could use him, Michael, in some of your productions for sure.
Well, I was going to say, if I compare you to Neil Young, please know it's always favorably.
Oh, heck,
Man. All right. Fifth pick. This is really tough for me.
What's left?
Well, I got my my vampire. And look, like, I'm not going to have Yummy Mummy being the only, like, you know, whatever childlike character that gets drafted out here. I'm going to take someone from my childhood that, you know, that meant quite a bit to me. And he's going to be able to, just make sure that he's not, you know, Kevin McAllister's mom, because he can count very well. So I'm going Count Von Count from the Sesame Street.
That's honestly a solid choice.
Yeah. It's my favorite vampire.
Is that really your favorite vampire?
Look, man, I've watched him more than any other vampire, you know?
Yeah.
Think about this, though. I watched him growing up till, I don't know when you stopped watching Sesame Street, like 13 or something.
And 13 seems a bit late, Andy. Not gonna lie.
Look, man, when you pee the bed till you're 9, 13 watching Sesame Street ain't that bad. And then, you know, I had a kid. He's 3 and a half. So I watched Sesame Street then. And, like, he's still out there doing. Hasn't aged a bit. Like,
well, he's a vampire.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not going to turn old and wrinkly like all those other puppets.
Exactly.
He's not going to get gray like Oscar.
Yeah, man. And I dig the color purple. Except on Barney. I'm coming for you. But, like, yeah. The count, man.
Okay. Fair enough.
Nice work. All right. Over to me, and all I have left is my mummy. And I know what mummy I'm going to take. And I did find a badass mummy. I just realized that there's, like, 3 or 4 of the Brendan Fraser mummy movies. And I'm taking the one...
How?
The one... Huh?
Oh.
No.
How mummy?
No. I'm taking the one where Jet Li was the mummy.
The Dragon Emperor.
Oh, that's right.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think this is the one also where they replaced what's her face with what's her face?
Rachel Weisz with Maria Bello.
Boom. Yeah. Yes. We need you on the podcast all the time, Michael.
For you to already understand our heads. Like, that's crazy.
No joke, though. Like, right around the beginning of the year, I was like, I need to rewatch all of the Mummy movies. And I binged all 3 of them. I bought, like, a Blu-ray blister pack. And literally the next day, HBO Max was like, we've brought all the Mummy movies. Oh. But because of that, they're all very fresh in my brain because... Mummy and then The Mummy Returns and then Tomb of the Dragon Emperor, like in quick succession, i.e. over the course of 7 hours, because those movies are not short.
Yeah.
It's a journey. And so Jet Li is very present in my brain as being the best part of a questionable third installment.
Did you start with The Scorpion King?
No, I purposely steered clear of The Scorpion King offshoots because there's like 7 of those. You know, there's like 7.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, it goes from The Rock to David Batista to whoever was on the made-for-video ones.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. You can also purchase a Blu-ray pack of those, and I guarantee when you do, some streaming site will put them up the next day.
It's like the Marines.
Yeah.
They're keeping eyes on those DVD sales, Blu-ray sales.
No, but I wanted to... Oh, go ahead.
No. I was going to say, my only thing with the Jet Li... like they didn't, I felt like they didn't let Jet Li do enough Jet Li stuff.
True.
Yeah.
You know?
But it's funny because Jet Li was my alternate outside of Yummy Mummy, believe it or not. He was my second choice if someone was wild enough to go after the Yummy Mummy. And the reason why is exactly my reason for Blade. Remember when I said my pick is Blade and my reason is Blade?
Yeah.
Your choice for Jet Li really should be my choice is Jet Li and my reason is Jet Li. It's going to be real tough if like it comes to monster fisticuffs to take down Jet Li.
Exactly. Exactly. See, I like this. I think that me and you got the same wavelength here, Michael. We know what's going on.
I mean, I did pick a Barry Mummy. Like, let's be very fair.
I was about to say, James. Yeah.
He's very yummy, though.
James, who's your yummy mummy, though? You know?
It was probably Leslie Nielsen, right?
Yeah, I guess it is. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, my comedic... It could be.
I mean,
it could be nourishing. Scott Howard, Teen Wolf too.
Yeah,
that's true. You've got a fun team.
Yeah, I've got a good team. Yeah,
yeah.
Sitcom squad.
That Jet Li will protect the other guys who aren't necessarily like fighters. So
everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. He can teach Teen Wolf to fight.
True.
All right, Drew, you're up.
Nah, that ain't Tyler Posey.
Well, I would hate to disparage the good name of Jacob, so I won't go there. So let me go with, because all I have is my Wolfman left. So give me Ginger.
Ginger was on my list too.
Ginger snaps. I remember the first time I watched this, I was like it was one of those things where it was just flipping through and I was just like, what is this? Like, cause it was like, right. Like it was like maybe, you know, I forget, probably like a half hour, 45 minutes into the movie. So I kind of missed everything anyway, but it was like, right when I started watching it is like when her tail kind of comes out. And it's just like, it starts to like protrude. I'm like, what is going on right now?
So you went back and watched the whole thing.
Yeah. And then I watched the whole thing. I was like, oh, this is a good movie.
It is a good movie.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've
just covered it on This Ends at Prom. We just had BJ and Harmony both on in back-to-back weeks. And they covered Ginger Snaps, I want to say over the last few weeks on one of their episodes.
Ginger Snaps is one of those movies.
So go there. Yeah. Forget about my pick.
Ginger Snaps is one of those movies where I like you say the movie and I instantly picture the cover in my mind's eye because I worked at a video store and I've seen the cover of this movie like 1,000 times, but I don't think I've ever actually seen the movie.
It's great. I would say it's one of the top like 5 best werewolf movies of all time.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
but of course, I also feel like by saying that, like someone out there is going to be like, the hype is too much, man. So like, I just say go into it however you need to.
Okay.
They're like, have you seen The Animal?
I'll definitely watch it. I'm definitely going to watch. You know what? It's Halloween season. This is going to be on my list.
And go get yourself a bag of Ginger Snaps cookies.
Yeah, while
just double
while
up.
You watch, eat Ginger Snaps while you watch Ginger Snaps.
Oh man, and drink some ginger ale. Yeah. Oh snap!
Rub ginger on your fingers and just do this, you know. I've had that down the whole time, and this time I let it blast. All right, let's see here. Oh, Michael, you're back.
All right, well, that leaves my werewolf, right? I will say that Ginger Fitzgerald from Ginger Snaps was also on my list, so you're forcing me to go into alternate territory. I was so looking forward to breaking up my boys' club, but that's fine. Because my alternate is probably more in line with the other savage choices in my group, and it is the Metal Beast from the 1995 movie Project Metal Beast. And if you have not seen this, it stars Barry Bostwick and Kane Hodder, who was Jason. Mm-hmm. Kane Hodder plays this person who is injected when the government tries to create a perfect soldier, they inject him with werewolf blood and then the project goes wrong and cryogenically freeze him. And then later when it wakes up, they put like a Terminator body on it. So it's both a werewolf, but also with like a metal, like exoskeleton. Is it good? Question mark. Is it a great werewolf choice? Absolutely. My pick is the Metal Beast from Project Metal Beast, because I already have like the crazy group anyway, so why not get nuts, right?
Yeah. I love that.
Your team is straight up killing us. Yummy Mummy is just chilling.
What if the gag is Yummy Mummy is the mastermind of this all? The whole
That's
time?
Exactly what it is.
Yeah, you think that he's all like the comic relief.
It's the usual suspects.
Yeah. But he's the Clark Gregg of this situation. Kaiser Agent Coulson, if you will.
Yeah.
He's like, I've been getting in kids' heads for years by being the mascot of a cereal.
That's the final scene of my movie is after like everything, like the village is burned. Van Helsing has been shocked. Yummy Mummy is limping away. But as he walks, he starts walking more normal and he gets in the van and puts on, puts on his sunglasses. Yummy Mummy rides off into the sunset.
Yummy Soze.
This Metal Beast is insane.
This is the craziest looking.
I've never seen this before.
I know.
Or heard of it in my whole life.
I mean, the last time I saw it was probably on an episode of Monster Vision, hosted by Joe Bob Briggs back like in the 90s. But I, you know, it's a design that you don't forget once you see the
yeah.
I had to look up a photo of it while I was talking because.
Yeah, I need to see this. It's on Amazon Prime for 99 cents or whatever Tubi is. You can go there and see it for free.
Yeah. You just have to watch commercials if you watch it on Tubi.
Okay. That's fine. But, it's like a new Crackle, basically.
Yeah. I mean, and look, you might want to get a big gulp in the middle of your Project Metal Beast. You exactly. might want to refill whatever your beverage of choice is. In fact, I challenge someone to come up with a themed craft cocktail for Project Metal Beast.
Oh,
and
man.
Let me know.
Harmony?
Harmony? Jeff Klein?
Yeah. Oh, man. All right. So how we do this is... we go back around the opposite way. So you get your three honorable mentions in the same period of time that you would pick one of your main roster guys. So you get to take three picks, and this can be any of the monsters that we've already taken, or you can also take the Bride, Invisible Man, or Phantom.
Okay.
So, you're up.
All right. So for my honorable mentions, I will pick an Invisible Man just to kind of get the group a little wild. I'm going to go with Kevin Bacon from Hollow Man only because I love Paul Verhoeven. No one ever talks about this movie, and it's kind of like, if you're going to have an Invisible Man, he's got to be problematic.
Yeah.
And what better problematic Invisible Man do you want to go? Because the one from the new movie is like too problematic in an uncomfortable way.
Right.
That like, whereas there's always Kevin Bacon with some fun.
Right. Yeah.
And so I'm going to go with Kevin Bacon from Hollow Man. Since I get to swing back around, I guess I got to do a Dracula. I'm going to take Christopher Lee because he's the best Dracula to me. I love him. Also the shenanigans over the course of the Hammer movies with him get progressively weirder, which by the time we get to 1972, he's got this weird like disco occultism where he's running like a corporation and has like dancing neophytes with like lambskin jackets, and like if Dracula is going to change with the times but still be Christopher Lee,
that sounds like natural progression.
And I guess, do I want another werewolf? I don't know. I'll take Michael Sheen from Underworld because of course I will.
Oh man, nice. That's a great pick.
Oh man, that is.
I don't know if Michael Sheen qualifies as a because Michael Sheen, but I feel like that's a good one. You know,
I think he would.
There you go. There's another one, Drew. Write that down. Just people because.
Just people because.
I actually like that. Drew, write that down.
That would be your shortest episode. Like people just come in and they'll just be like, Steve McQueen.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
And then you're like, is there any reason?
Just because.
We don't even need a timer. We don't even need a timer for that one.
Yeah.
All right, Drew.
All right. Again, since we're pulling everything out, I thought of one that kind of, I don't know, maybe it'll make my squad now. But give me the Deep.
Yeah.
Oh.
From The Boys. Especially when Andy said Aquaman, I was like, oh, the Deep is a Gilman.
Yeah.
Oh, you mentioned that one, so I got to get rid of that. I should have been paying attention. I wasn't paying attention. You know what? Give me, going to go down the same vein, give me another werewolf and give me Eddie Monster. Nice. Yeah. And then... let's see. Let's mix it up a little. Is there another mummy? Without going into the class. You know, just give me werewolf, Deep, vampire. Give me Edward Cullen.
There he is.
Right?
Yeah.
A dazzling choice, really.
Yes.
Literally.
It had to happen at some point.
All right.
I did look into the Twilight franchise while putting this list together just to see if there was a ridiculous selection that I could make. But then when I landed on Yummy Mummy, I'm like, well,
yeah.
I can't have two sparkling heroes in my group.
And let's be honest, who's really a better mastermind? Clearly Yummy Mummy.
True. Oh, yeah.
He's got it all wrapped up, you know? Oh, all right. So I'm going to take, we kind of teased him a little bit earlier, but I have him written down, so I got to take him. I'm going to go Deacon Frost as another vampire option. And then I'm going to go Will Randall from Wolf, Jack Nicholson from Wolf.
Good choice.
And then, you know what? I'm going to take the Amphibian Man. We'll go Doug Jones again. From Shape of Water.
So you have two Doug Jones fish guys on your team.
Yeah, Abe Sapien and Amphibian Man.
Wow.
I bet they've got some stuff to say to each other.
I'm sure, yeah. I bet they can communicate very well.
The honorable mentions, though, they're like on like bicycles behind the car, just trying to catch
right.
it. Yeah. You know?
I will tell you, and I know this is probably against the rules, but I at one point was thinking to myself, after I picked Kevin Bacon, who I'll keep, even though you can't see him because he's invisible, I had this moment, I'm like, why didn't I pick Imhotep?
Oh, I know. That's a great, yeah.
Right, because he doesn't need a bike. He could just come in a cloud of sand.
That's right.
Of solid 90s CGI sand. Shows up when he wants.
I bet, shout out to Darude.
I bet nobody took him just because it's like too obvious. You know?
Yeah,
it's like
I think the most you're probably obvious right.
pick. Yeah. All right, Andy.
All right. The first one I'll go with is give me Spike from Buffy.
Oh, nice. Solid.
Yeah. Yeah, big fan there. I know he's gonna be able to ride a bike like crazy, so you know.
Right.
Let's see. Next one I'll go with is, oh man, I'm going, you know, there's just so many. So I'm going to go back to it. I'm going to go back to the vampires. I'm going to take, give me Aaliyah from Queen of the Damned.
Oh, snap.
Yeah. Nice. And you know, I had to finish out with this one. If anybody knows me, they know this is one of my favorite movies. I have no shame about it. I don't care. And I'm talking about my boy, Antoine Tyler. I'm talking about Kadeem Hardison, the sixth man. Yeah, baby. This movie will make you laugh, you cry, make you smile, make you feel things you haven't felt in 20 years.
What are you taking him as?
Invisible Man.
Oh, okay. But he's like a ghost, though.
Invisible to everybody else but Kenny Tyler, his brother.
Don't you dare think about putting this on your team. Let me just state
well, I
that
can't
because right
it's not one of the main five. I was going to put it on my team, but Wes set a stipulation up that ruined my idea, you know? But yeah, big fan of this movie. I don't
see,
care.
This is more like Andy's team.
You should have heard him
your
last night, last week.
Who built your team last week did a good job.
Hold on. But I love those type of movies. I took like The Stuff.
I love The Stuff. I have a container of The Stuff around here somewhere.
What?
Oh my God. Yeah.
That is amazing.
Yeah, it's on one of the shelves. I'll send you a picture.
Yeah, so I went pretty deep and Drew's like, you didn't draft your team.
There's no way that you know what this stuff is, Andy.
And I took Blail from Basket Case.
Case. Yeah.
And my dude Rubber, you know?
The tire from Rubber?
Hell yeah.
All right. Fair.
My dude Rubber. Didn't you say that it had like a weird name, like Tim or something? It was like a regular name. Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I mean, he's got a family. He's got at least three others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep, just riding together. And guess what? When one of them passes, They just get a new one.
Yeah. That's like why the sequel's called Spare.
Donut.
Oh, so I can't wait to hear our teams so that afterwards we could talk about our car arrangement.
That's right. Does anybody want to do any trades up or add drops, or you feel locked in?
I feel pretty good.
You know what? I'm going to add drop.
You are? I'm locked in. Drew?
I'll lock in.
Okay, Andy, it's just on you. I'm not even going to drop any balls.
All right. I'm dropping the count, and I'm adding Spike.
Okay.
Nice. All right, Spike's solid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He can give me a little bit of everything that I'm looking for, you know?
Yeah.
That's what Buffy said.
Yeah, she sure did.
James Marsters is the shit. All right, here we go. So here are our teams of Universal Monster Remix. So for Andy's team, number one, Aminette from the Tom Cruise Mummy. I had to make sure to state that clearly. Number two, Wolverine as Wolfman. Number three, Frankenhooker as his Frankenstein. And number four, Aquaman as his Gill Man. And number five, Spike as his vampire.
Okay. All right. So you want to do the car arrangements after you read the teams?
Yeah, we'll do it after. James's team of best Universal Monster Remix, number one, Herman Munster as his Frankenstein. Number two, Teen Wolf Scott Howard as his Wolfman. Number three, Abe Sapien from Hellboy as his Gill Man. Number four, Dracula from Dracula Dead and Loving It as his Dracula. And number five, the Dragon Emperor as his Mummy. For Drew's team, number one, Bubba Hotep as his Mummy. Number two, Creature from the Black Lagoon as his Gill Man. Number three, Ava as his Frankenstein from Ex Machina. Number four, Eric Northman from True Blood as his vampire. And number five, Ginger from Ginger Snaps as his werewolf. And for Michael, number one, Yummy Mummy as his mummy. Number two, Blade as his vampire. Number three, the monster from hell. It's the monster from hell, Frankenstein.
Yeah.
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 Number three.
From the movie, Frankenstein and the monster from hell.
Frankenstein and the monster from hell. Yeah. Number four, Humanoids from the Deep as his Gillman. And number five, the Metal Beast from Project Metal Beast as his werewolf. That shit is fucking killer. Damn. That is a killer effing squad.
Yeah, you got the best team. You got the best team for sure. I'm confident in saying that. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like all of these teams are going to give somebody a run for their money.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
I've never.
I mean, James's team is going to get at least seven seasons on ABC.
That's true. But I'm going to say that Ava is a force to be reckoned with. Like, I think that was a brilliant choice for Frankenstein.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Nice. I think I'm. My car situation is going to be a pink 59 Cadillac Eldorado. I'll just start in the back. It's got like a little pool, and Aquaman is just chilling in there. You guys are right. So he's looking at everybody coming from behind, and they are terrified to mess with this car. The driver is clearly Wolverine because he's got control issues. So he's going to need to drive the car.
He drives with his claws too. Like that.
The passenger is going to be Spike. Because like, I feel like Wolverine, you know, he could stay awake and, you know, like Spike talking to him. Spike's a good time. In the back seat, I got Aminette and, I got, my girl Frankenhooker. So, that's my riding situation.
Nice.
Well, in my situation, it's just the Munster Mobile and everybody's just kind of hanging on wherever they can find a spot. So,
Yeah, I've got like an early 60s pickup truck. Let's say Ford. I don't know cars. But we've all seen this truck. It's got like white with the teal striping, you know.
It's a truck from like Logan.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I got you.
So the bed is filled with the water, of course. You got Eric Northman driving. You've got Ginger right outside her, like she's hanging on to like the almost like a garbage man style.
I
got you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She's on one side, and on the other side, I've got Ava. Like, they're just ready to pounce on anything and start killing. And, of course, whoever the fuck I have left is in the passenger seat. I forget at this point.
Love it. Now for the best car.
I think mine's got to be a cargo van that was passed down to Blade from Chris Christopherson. Not Whistler, Chris Christopherson, famed folk singer. Blade's clearly driving. There's a kiddie pool in the back with the humanoid from the deep. In kind of also seated in the back are the metal beast and the monster from hell.
Oh God.
Probably enjoying a sandwich or like playing tiddlywinks. Very yeah. like Scooby-Doo Mystery Machine style with them.
Yeah, there. Yeah.
And Yummy Mummy's riding shotgun and also controlling the radio, much to Blade's chagrin, because they've been listening to a lot of Seals and Crofts. It's really fucking weird. And that's where we're at in the car.
You know what I'm
Oh my God.
What I'm imagining in my mind is like, I have the same van and we're both parked in at Walmart and your team is in your van and I'm walking out of Walmart and I mix up and I open the door of the wrong van and I'm just like, what the fuck?
And then just like the humanoid reaches out and just slowly closes the door.
Who is this cast of misfits?
Hey, Michael.
And your meddled out beast is like, hey, did you get the Kit Kats? Like,
right.
He needs his candy.
I imagine the metal beast is like reading a magazine that's like 3 years out of date. It's like,
yeah,
Esquire, but like with Javier Bardem on the cover for No Country for Old Men. And, yeah. But metal beast thinks it's super current. Like, yeah, that's what's
have
going
you guys
on.
Heard about this? Yes, we heard about He's that.
Oh man,
he's a lot like the dude from a Euro Trip who like they just got Miami. Wife.
Right away, number one new show, eh?
Oh man.
Hey, hey Michael.
Been a blast.
Michael, where can people find you and everything?
Well, as mentioned at the beginning, the best place to find me is on Twitter at Michael Verratti. It's just my name. Obviously, Peaches Christ and I do the Midnight Mass podcast weekly. We drop at midnight on Wednesday. And we're available wherever podcasts are found. And if you are interested in, much like Peaches, in the intersection of horror and drag, I'm also a director on the Boulay Brothers Dragula, which is premiering. The new season is premiering on October 19th on Shudder. So,
yeah. Oh, awesome. Hell yeah.
That is super awesome, like, idea to combine horror and drag. Like, that's so unique. I love it.
Yeah, people seem to be digging it. So season 4, we're still still around.
Dude,
that is awesome.
This is awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
This has been awesome.
With that, everybody, stay cool.